Hello, Zarina. Thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm excited to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
So you are what is known as a soul healer and a transformational coach. And basically, you know, from my understanding of what that means is you use a lot of ancient wisdom traditions such as the Tao from the Tao Te Ching and various other methodologies and meditations to help people really find out who they are, what their purpose is about, finding happiness and meaning and fulfillment in their lives and, you know, just make the most of living here on this weird world that we live in at the moment. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of it is opening up the heart and having their heart chakra open and fully receiving and being able to just let the heart lead them, you know, the heart and soul to lead instead of the mind, which is how we've been programmed.
Right. I mean, we do live in a very strange time at the moment of, you know, mental noise and overstimulation of information. And we kind of, a lot of us get stuck up in the head and just don't know where to go from there. So how about we sort of just start off with, how did you come across the Tao wisdom and, you know, found it helpful for you? Where did that journey start for you?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's all started when I started to discover just manifestation techniques and tools and understanding the power of the mind and reading books like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And so I started to practice these spiritual manifesting techniques when I was about 20. And I had just closed my business at 19 years old from, you know, a cocaine addiction. And so I really felt like I had nothing to lose. I'm like, I've lost it all anyway. And so I was like, I'll just take a shot and try this thing out, you know, whatever this manifesting stuff is all about. And to my surprise, everything that I had set out, you know, put my intentions towards in less than 6 months, I had literally experienced, you know, and that was, at the time, I'm 20, so I wanted like my first car. I wanted to go to Thailand. I wanted to, you know, lose some weight, get healthier, and so that's literally what happened. I was in Thailand about 6 months later, and forgetting all of these cool tools that I had started with, and just noticing that everything just started to kind of self-destruct. I started to self-destruct, and all of the things that I had created kind of just disappeared literally from my reality. And so I started again and I continued. And so I just started to notice this pattern of that I could create and manifest all of these experiences, but they would just end in like heartbreak or sickness. Like I would get literally physically sick or completely emotional grief, sadness, lack of confidence, like completely insecure about myself and my purpose and why I was here. And so I ended up manifesting a lot of amazing experiences, like, you know, like six-figure businesses. I was traveling the world. I was in relationships, like loving relationships that would just end in not great situations, like heartbreak, like just tragedy, let's say. And so that's, I think, 10 years of this up and down roller coaster, emotional roller coaster, life starting from scratch so many times, you know, just feeling so lost. And that's when I just said, that's enough. Like, I'm clearly missing something. You know, I realized I'm definitely missing something. And I just stopped doing all of it. I just said, I'm not manifesting anything intentionally, consciously, until I'm healed. Like, until I figure this out. Like, there was just too much negative stuff going on inside that for me to even hold the light. So what I realized was I wasn't able to vibrate at a high level to be able to hold that information of what I was manifesting, the money, the love, the peace, the harmony, you know, all of it. And And at the end of that year, like I literally took the entire year off. I didn't work. I sat at home. I meditated. I went inside. I learned about energy work. I learned about, you know, esoteric knowledge like Kabbalah and Gnosticism and things like that. And I studied this stuff and just really did a lot of self-healing, like self-memory healing. And at the end of that year, that's when my entire body was like stopped working. It felt like I had never had any health issues before, really. And all of a sudden I couldn't eat. I woke up in the middle of the night and I had lost all my muscle, lost all my like fat. Like I looked like skin and bones. And I didn't know what happened. I went to the doctors and they said you have adrenal failure, you know, like your adrenals from anxiety. So I had anxiety for a long period of time and undiagnosed, like I didn't even know. And that is when I discovered the Tao. Like I literally just walked into the Tao Academy, the Tao Center, which was designed and built by Dr. and Master Zigong Sha. And he owns the Tao Academy that teaches all of this stuff, like the soul healing, how to self-clear negative information into positive information, right? Like, and really understanding that we have a soul, heart, mind, energy, and body, and that every single thing in the universe has that. And so we can absolutely take this empowering law, and he calls it the law of Shen Qi Jing, which is the law of soul, heart, mind, energy, and matter. And that every single thing carries an information in the universe, right? Mm-hmm. Everything carries resonant frequency. Everything carries consciousness. Everything has energy and everything has matter. So we're able to realize like this is actually really empowering, and it doesn't mean that we need to suffer or anything, and that we could actually use this to transform are any negative stuff that is going on in our physical body, emotional body, mental body, spiritual body, right? So, and in our hearts. So yeah, that's pretty much how it all happened. And I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, what are they doing? This is really cool. I just felt my hands really lighting up, you know, for the first time in my life. And I was like, and I had done Reiki before this, you know, So I hadn't felt something like that before. So I said, I don't know what we're doing, but I'm just going to keep coming back every weekend. So I kept coming back and I took one of their like 8-week courses, and I just did their practices for an hour in the morning and an hour at night, and everything shifted. Like my entire physical body felt completely healed. Like I felt like I had new organs, like I had regenerated organs. I had no anxiety left. I was totally just peaceful for the first time in my life, you know, and that's not a long period of time. That's 8 weeks of just dedication. You know, I didn't do anything else except these practices. And I was really determined. I had this really good feeling that like, this is what I've been looking for. My whole life. So
That's an amazing story. And I think it highlights a few, you know, important points about how, you know, in the sort of new age tradition of a lot of spiritual things, there's a lot of talk and discussion about manifesting and, you know, creating your dream life and getting all the things that you think you want and, you know, spending your time and energy just focused on those kinds of things. And yet, as you sort of saw, it's like, well, you can have all of these material or, you know, whatever it is, experiences and possessions, you can get all that stuff and all the money that you want and the career and the friends and the love, and yet it's not going to be sort of fulfilling in the way that you want it to be, right? That nothing material or otherwise is going to fulfill you the same way that a spiritual tradition of just peace or something like that does, right? Where there's no object value of, there's no monetary value rather of like this inner peace that you feel and that you experience. There's nothing you can do with it per se, right? It's not an asset that you can have and sell or utilize or whatever. It's just a different way of being in the world. that ultimately leads to this level of fulfillment, right? And shows you, you know, your clear path and your purpose of being in the world and helping other people and doing that kind of stuff. And it's really cool that, I mean, you know, after all those things, you sort of just found yourself on the way to a DAO center where, you know, I guess before then, how much, you know, did you have any experience with that stuff or what actually led you there? I mean, was it a recommendation or just a feeling or?
Yeah, it was a recommendation. So I used to go to these, like, a bunch of friends would meditate. So we would get together and meditate. And one of the girls there was an active member in the community of the DAO and the DAO Center. And she's like, oh, come to the, you know, Saturday free session. We're, you know, and we have them on Saturday mornings. And I was like, okay. And my partner at the time, he went first and he came home and he was like, I've never felt so much light in one space before. That's what he told me. And of course that piqued my interest. You know?
Yeah. You're like,
I was like, yeah, I gotta go. Okay.
I want some of that.
Exactly. And we were already doing a lot of energy healing on ourselves, right? Like I said, and energy work and studying, you know, esoteric knowledge before that, but never did I really experience that depth of peace and love and self-love, I feel, you know, and really connected to my own soul. And that I feel is something that a lot of people want, right? We want to feel that connected to our own depths, our own essence, right? And you're absolutely right. I was totally out of alignment, misunderstanding this whole reality of physical manifestations, like the monetary homes, condos, you know, cars. Like I was manifesting all those cool things that we think we want. And then when you get it, you're like, I still feel the same. I don't feel great at all. I actually feel worse. I feel, you know, and then in 8 weeks, I was just like, wow, I have never felt so expansive in my heart. So much peace, so much self-love. And then what I realized was that taking away all of these layers, the shell was removed. And from my heart, all of the pain, the suffering, you know, all of that was really transformed. And I was able to really see, okay, now my soul, my heart can really shine and guide me where I'm meant to go, you know, where I'm meant to, how I'm meant to serve humanity, my purpose. And I think that's the greatest thing that I really received from this whole experience is that number one question that I was banging my head against the wall my whole life was, what is my purpose? Why am I here? You know, how am I, what is the purpose of all of this?
Yeah.
And that's really what became very clear once I had discovered the DAO.
So what was that 8 week process? What was that like? What was it involving?
So it was 9 a.m. for an hour, 9 a.m. practice with a master teacher on a phone call. Like nothing was in person. It was all over the phone. And we would do invocations to like activate our inner field, like really consciously connecting to our inner body, like all the organs, the cells, the muscles, the tissue, everything, like just really activating and realizing that every single cell, every single blood vessel, everything has its own information in the quantum field, resonant frequency in the field, consciousness, energy, and matter. So we're really communicating with our body first to activate the inner body, and then communicating with all of the high frequency energy in the outer world, which is, you know, in the DAO, it's like the divine beings, the DAO, the source, universal source, creator of all that is. It could be angels, it could be Buddhas, like whatever, it's really personal. So whatever the person really connects with, but usually they connect with all divine beings, all of the high vibrational, energies that exist in the universe. And a lot of them can be in the form of like Kuan Yin or You know, Amitofu, like there's so many different Buddhas and beings, and it's all different. But so we're activating the outer field, connecting with the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the universes, you know, like really tapping into the power of the universe. And then we start tapping into our own energy center. So in the Tao, the major foundational energy center in the human body is, especially for creation and manifesting, is right below and behind the navel. So in the back there, sorry, in the front of the body there. And so they're always talking about building the foundation. You know, everything that I do in my program as well, and like with my clients, is like, let's start with building your foundation, because if you don't have a good foundation, especially in this energy center, it's going to be challenging to manifest and hold the light of your manifestations, like hold that high vibration of all the things you're creating and wanting to create. So we're constantly building that energy center, and you know, it's with certain mantras, tapping, activating the center, visualizing. So we use the five power technique, which is the soul power, which I already shared with you. That was activating the inner world and the outer field, right? Inner field, mm-hmm. outer field, that's the soul power. Mind power, like visualizing, using the power of your mind to focus on that energy center. So right now I'm talking about, it's called the lower Dantian. In Mandarin, which just is the major foundational energy center, and right behind the belly, behind the navel. And so just visualizing like a golden ball of light getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And so your mind is really activating that energy in that space, and then using sound power. So we will say a mantra over and over and over again. And one of the mantras in Mandarin, it's Jo, but Jo means nine, like it's the number nine. And so you're really just chanting nine, like that sequence, nine, 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 nine. But in Mandarin, it's Jo. And because that has a very powerful vibration versus saying nine, right, in English. Yeah. So you chant that, and then you're using, so that's soul power, mind power, sound power, breath power. So of course we're breathing deeply. When we're breathing light into that energy space, right? You're imagining that every breath you breathe is building that energy ball, and mm-hmm. it's getting brighter and brighter. And body power. So body power is, I said, the tapping, right? You're tapping, or maybe your hand is just over your belly. And so, because they say wherever you place your hands is where you receive the benefits, the healing, the power, all of it. So when you combine all of these innate powers we all have, it creates a quantum experience, a quantum healing experience, and activates these spaces. So that's just one basic practice that was very foundational to what we did. And a lot of heart chakra openings, for what I call karma clearing, but they call forgiveness practice, right? So that's a big piece of that experience that I went through,
right?
And a big piece of what I teach and do for my clients as well, because it's just such a powerful, important understanding to this process. Yeah, really taking full responsibility, like radical responsibility for being a multidimensional being, right? Mm-hmm. And having moved through so many forms, and whether you believe in it or not, it's really just realizing, well, you exist on so many different dimensions, so you got nothing to lose.
And I mean, I suppose if you go in it with a skeptical attitude of like, this is nonsense, or I don't believe mm-hmm. in any of this, or, you know, where's the science or whatever, it's like, okay, I mean, you can approach it that way if you want. It's probably not going to be particularly helpful, mm-hmm. rather than approaching it with just an openness of like, let's see what happens, and, you know, not necessarily trying to justify and prove and do all those kinds of things that we're sort of accustomed to thinking about the world in that way. It's like, well, you're closing yourself off from so much potential, right? And if you get too caught up in the terminology of things, then you can also get stuck. Like, it's like what you were saying about connecting with the different light beings or the you know, divinities and things like that, and how people have different words for them or characterizations or representations that sort of differ one person to the other. It's like, yeah, that's the secondary, you know, whether you call it this and I call it that. Like, does that really matter if we're talking about the same thing? I mean, not really. It's really just, are you feeling that connectedness, right? That that depth that you were speaking about. And so my question is, like, are these, did they put this process that they, that you went through, right? Is it like a customized thing, or is it pretty standard that everyone can do? I mean, with guidance, of course, but does, how much customization is there, or is it kind of like, well, we're all suffering from much of the same sort of thing, right? And it'll manifest differently, you know, like with the forgiveness stuff or the karma clearing. It's like, yeah, okay, people have different versions of it, but ultimately everyone's suffering from the same sort of problem, right?
Yeah, it's actually surprisingly not customized at all. It was an 8-week process where we were going for an hour in the morning, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then an hour at night, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Monday to Friday. And it was everyone. And so what I discovered and what I realized is that everyone is dealing with heart chakra blockages and a small lower dantian, like the energy is not big enough in the lower dantian, like that major energy center in the belly. So we're constantly building that energy in that space, and then also clearing the heart chakra. So a lot of humanity has so many heart chakra blockages, which causes the pain, the suffering, the negative information, whatever, however that manifests, anger, frustration, judgments, criticism, you know, like self-judgments, anxiety, depression, all of that. And so that is why they focus so much on that forgiveness practice. So what it does is they created a book, like Master Zigong Sha, Master Zulin, I think that's how you pronounce it. They created a book called Tao Science. So the whole, and she's a quantum physicist. So, and he's a doctor of Western and Eastern Chinese medicine. And so that entire book talks about the quantum field and how every single thing at the very basic level is information, right? Everything carries just simply information, negative information, positive information. And one feels good, one doesn't feel good. And we know that, right? So how do we transform negative information into positive information? And they say that, you know, you're, because we're energy, we are moving through form. We don't know what form we carried in other lifetimes. We don't know what, you know, but we are eternal beings. We don't know when we came into being, but we do know that it's energy cannot be created or destroyed. And if we look at ourselves under a really powerful microscope, we would see energy and space, right? Information and space. And so we can kind of understand that, well, that means that we've been transforming through form, and we are timeless beings. So the soul is the warehouse of information. So we basically, every word, every action, every thought, every deed, you know, they say, and even in all ancient texts, they talk about something like this, where there's a warehouse of information that everything we do is recorded. And so basically the Tao science is saying that your soul is the one that is recording it. And some of it will, and what you put out comes back, right? We know this from other ancient scripts too, like what you put out comes back. They say that all the time, which is similar to the law of thermodynamics, you know, cause and effect, right? And that whole ripple effect in the universe. And so it's easy to kind of see that, well, I should probably take responsibility first for the negative information I'm experiencing is probably because of me or my ancestors, because mm-hmm. we are living embodiments of our ancestors, have probably done something to have it come back, right? Unless it's something from this lifetime that you're aware of. A lot of times we're not aware of it and we're just like, why is this happening? What's going on? You know?
Yeah. Why do I feel shit?
Yeah. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like crap? And, you know, and for me, it just looked like chaos. And so Tao science really shows that the law of karma can be described as entropy in quantum physics, and entropy is chaos, disorder, disharmony, disconnection in the yeah. field. And we can see that on the planet, like that's literally what we're seeing right now. We are clearing and transforming through so much chaos, so much disharmony, so much disconnection, you know, separation, consciousness, like all of this is happening right now, pain, suffering, and it's been happening for forever, but I feel like we're at a really all-time high of it all.
Yeah.
And
we're not doing so great as a species.
Yes. And so when we can see that it's not just Mother Earth or humanity, but it's actually as close as our own soul, heart, mind, and body, right? That needs to transform the negative right. information, the negative karma, they call it. But what is karma? Karma is just information in the field, right? You're just transforming negative information that has been accumulated. And then it kind of hits like a tipping point and then gets manifested into the physical mm-hmm. realm. So, and it all comes through the same process of manifestation, which is the five stages, like the soul, your essence is carrying this information from your ancestors from all lifetimes, which is mind-blowing when we start to think about that even. Like, wait, I have ancestors from this lifetime and other lifetimes.
Yeah.
Like, and we could potentially be carrying the negative information from all lifetimes. But don't get me wrong, we're also carrying all the wisdom, all the power, all the light from our ancestors too. So there's a beautiful contrast here that...
Yeah.
That's why I find it so empowering. It's like, okay, so if I transform the negative information that my soul's been carrying and accumulating from my ancestors, then I can have more access to the wisdom, the power, the divinity, the love, the peace that my ancestors and I have created as well. Right?
Right.
So there's always that yin and yang. So that's really what this is about. It's not so much just focusing on the negative. It's more, it's actually really empowering to realize like, wait, I can create anything I'd like. I can actually manifest what I really truly want and remove the blockages, because that's what we're experiencing. A lot of human beings, yeah. especially myself included, you know, it was the blockages that we're wanting to remove, because we are very clear and we can feel the power within us. A lot of us can feel it. We've sensed it. We've had glimpses of it and we're just like, whoa, what was that? I want more of that. Well, let's mm-hmm. remove the blockages so that you can actually tap into that. And that becomes your way of being. That becomes right. Because that's really who you are.
Yeah.
It's that powerful divine space within you, that soul, that essence, right? So anyway, the five stages of manifestation is the soul sends information to the heart chakra. The heart chakra receives. It's the grand receiver of life. And it receives that information. So we feel all these feelings, whether it's from the external world or from the internal world, from our soul. And then that our heart starts to feel so much, and our heart sends that information to our mind, which is the grand processor of life. We're processing mm-hmm. all this information, trying to understand it, trying to, you know, label it, trying to put it into order and understanding. And then that the mind sends that information, the consciousness sends that information to the energy, our energy. And we can either have a high energy, low energy, depressed energy, you know, anxious energy, whatever it is. And then that energy sends the information to the physical body. And then yeah. that's what manifests, whether it's, you know, health or not, you know, and there's so many different things we've seen in illness and sickness. So it really comes down to what is the message? Because every soul carries a message. Every piece of information that is flowing through us carries a message. Is it a positive message? Is it a negative message? Is it a message of love, peace, and harmony? Or is it a message of hate, anger, frustration, nervousness, you know, like doubt, yeah. self-doubt, like all of that. So it's really just connecting to that. Everything is information, and it kind of takes away the emotion of it all. It kind of separates information from emotion. So now we can actually be empowered to do something about it, you know, to transform right. it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of just like suffering the feeling or exactly. whatever it is, there's things that can be done about it. And mm-hmm. I like that approach as well, because it's not typically how we sort of see or interpret ourselves, you know, in the sense of like, well, if you have some sort of so-called physical symptom or ailment, typically you kind of go and you just try to address it at that level, and mm-hmm. maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but you know, even if it does, it's like, okay, it works for now, but you haven't really yeah. solved the problem. You're symptom treating more than, you know, problem solving, so to speak.
Exactly.
And I also, what's interesting is what you said about how the heart is primary to the mind, right, which is also not a sort of commonplace way of viewing things, right, where mm-hmm. we typically think of, you know, your mind as primary and everything else as secondary, which is an understandable, you know, way of viewing things, and also just how most of us have been raised to sort of think that, and so have our parents and, you know, everyone else. It's not like people are doing it maliciously on purpose. Everyone's sort of just trying their best, but yeah. it is a different way of approaching it, where you sort of have to go beyond the mind, so to speak, to be able to have a good impact on it, right? So instead of trying to treat mental so-called problems, right, you need to go even a step or two steps further back to really exactly. start addressing it at a deep level, exactly. right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we teach, is that the soul is the root. Go to mm-hmm. the root of these problems or these issues or these challenges or blockages. The root is at the soul level. And so it is about connecting to the soul, to the heart. And when you do use the five powers techniques and into one experience and create that quantum experience, that quantum healing experience, you're really transforming the negative information in the mental body, in the mind, because that's really what a lot of us are dealing with. But they, you know, we teach that the soul moves the heart moves the mind, mm-hmm. the mind moves the energy moves matter. So it all leads, you know, one is always leading the other. So what we're dealing with, even as humanity, you know, right now is really bringing everyone back into their heart space, back into their soul, like realizing what's important, what's not important here. How can I connect deeper inwards? Yeah.
And this process of, you know, healing, let's say, it's also, I guess, it's not necessarily an easy or pleasant process all the time, right?
The process of what?
Of healing.
Healing. Well, or actually, is it? That's the thing is, like, healing can actually be fun and easy, and it doesn't need to be, like, hard. It's, you know, when we're doing these practices, they're quite calming. You know, they're quite, you go into like some sort of a trance space, you know, you're feeling the energy and frequency of all these souls from all your lifetimes and all your ancestors. And so maybe, you know, I've definitely cry and release, like the releasing feeling of crying, but it feels so good. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you have it's a good cathartic. Cry. Yeah. yeah, extremely. It feels really good. But that's for the karma clearing stuff. And then boosting the energy centers. That part for me is very, very calming. Like, yeah, I go into like some sort of a trance And it's like feeling like you're activating or accessing different dimensions of yourself that you've never even tapped into. So I didn't have a hard time. It wasn't challenging. It was one of those things where, you know, even my clients, they say, oh my God, I've never thought I'd be addicted to meditation. They call it meditation, but it's a practice. It's a Tao practice, right?
Sure.
And it feels like a guided meditation, right? We're guiding you to use all those five powers in one experience, and then you are self-clearing. You're facilitating your own self-clearing of the negative information to purify. So we're really purifying the soul, heart, mind, energy, and body. Mm-hmm. And it boosts our energy. It boosts like our stamina, our vitality, immunity, which is a hot topic right now, of course.
Yeah.
Healing, it heals physical ailments, physical body, the emotional body, mental, spiritual, like transforms relationships. Like after that 8 weeks, I had fallen more in love with my partner at the time as I was breaking up with him. Like we were breaking up, it was mutual, but it was so beautiful how we were having way more compassion for ourselves, for each other and ourselves, and feeling more connected as we were going our separate ways. Like it was not a challenging heartbreak. It was, you know, and that year I had manifested over six figures and I didn't even do anything different. It was just that I was more in my heart. I was more leading with my heart. I was more living from that space, right? Versus in anxiety and grief and all of the other things that I was coming from, you know? And so it just showed me that, well, anything is really possible. It's really just about the purity, purifying our heart, our connecting deeper with our soul, and using all of these gifts that we already have. It's not that we have to go get trained and learn and get certified to have gifts. It's just,
you just need to know what you're doing.
There. Yeah, they're already there. You just need to be sincere. So that I'd say is the number one most important part of this entire process is sincerity.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the skeptical mind, like you said, it will hinder your own process. It'll hinder what you're able to connect with, and which is really we're simply connecting with ourselves on a deeper level. That's it.
So now, is this something that you think that people could do? Because you were saying that it is a self-healing process, right? Mm-hmm. Now, how much of it can you do or can one do by themselves without like having a master or a teacher or a trainer? Or does that really mostly come after you've been through a course or some sort of, you know, training period?
That's a great question, because for me personally, I was guided and then, you know, through these meditations, through these practices. And then that's what I do for my clients, right? I do live practices or recorded practices, and whether it's recorded or live, they get the same experience. Mm-hmm. And so there's no difference there. But I do know that there's many books. Master Zigong Sha has many books of detailed practices of what to do. So you don't necessarily need to do any of that with somebody. But
it helps.
It definitely, I would say it definitely helps. Like if I just picked up the book, having not experienced it with a teacher or a guide, I don't think I would have got the essence of it, you know, reading words on a piece of paper versus, you know, and then being able to go inwards. It's a bit challenging, right? Versus having someone guide you or having a recording. But I feel like my intention was always to pay it forward. So I could have these clients, my clients have access to all these recordings and all of these teachings and trainings, practices, and then eventually create their own, right? So they have such a huge bank in their mind of, okay, I know exactly if I need to do this, I know how to get there. I don't necessarily need to press play and, yeah, and watch a guided recording. I know how to do this by myself now. So that was always my intention. And that's
right.
My opinion personally, but there are so many books and they have so many practices in there.
Yeah.
Especially The Greatest Forgiveness. That book, it's $10. Like it carries a lot of karma clearing practices in it, but he calls it The Greatest Forgiveness, but self-clearing karma.
Yeah. And also I guess there's really something that goes beyond our sort of reading comprehension or just conceptual knowledge when you're, you know, doing it with someone. I mean, just anyone, I think, can relate to the experience of when you experience something with someone else, it's just a completely different thing, right? Particularly mm-hmm. if you're doing it with a master of something. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a spiritual thing. It's like when you're in the presence of someone who's just an amazing whatever it is that they're doing, and mm-hmm. you can feel it and you can be a part of it without even trying, right? And whereas if you're doing it by yourself and trying to figure it out, it's a lot of like, am I doing it right? How do I know? What's it supposed to be? And that, you know, I guess you can work through it, like if you had no other choice, you could do it. And I guess also, you know, the ancient masters didn't really have teachers as such. A lot of them just figured it out on their own and then became the masters to teach mm-hmm. everyone else. But why go through that for yourself when there's lots of help available, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's no point in reinventing the wheel. It's all there, done for you. And we've made it very easy for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, one of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about today was in your practice, you use a substance called Cambo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not something I'd ever heard of until you and I had connected. And I think it's a fascinating medicine, I guess we'll call it. Could you tell us a little bit about it and how you use it and what its purpose is?
Yeah, so this is a totally separate from, you know, what I do online, right? Like this is more of an in-person experience. I can't administer Cambo online. But
if only
I could do that. That'd be amazing. But so Cambo is it's a sacred medicine that originally was used by hunters, you know, traditionally by the Matse tribes in the Amazon jungle. And they used it just for hunting. That was originally what it was for. It was to cleanse the system, to clear, become energetically attuned to the jungle. And because it enhances your hearing, your eyesight, like, you know, everything that they needed for hunting. So to really tap into that frequency and connect with the jungle, the animals, like be feeling that oneness, right? So, but how they gather it is they basically connect with the bicolor tree frog. And it's a frog from the Amazon. They sing this beautiful song, like a chant, a mantra, and a bunch of frogs come out and kind of offer their medicine, you know. And so they pick up a frog. They have these little sticks in the ground, and they just gently tie their wrists and their ankles to the stick. They tickle their belly, and then the frog emits their venom, you know. So it is a poison. It's known to be a poison. However, it is one of the most detoxifying agents for humanity, for humans. And so they scrape off that liquid, that poison, and they put it, dry it onto a bamboo stick. And so I receive, you know, when I order them, they get shipped to me. I'm in Canada, and I receive this bamboo stick that has the dried medicine on it. And so when a participant wants to receive Cambo, we always ask about the intention, you know, what is the intention? If it's a physical intention, like they want to heal an organ or such, we would connect with that meridian, you know, we would put the medicine on that meridian. If it's a chakra, they want to heal a chakra, then we would do that, focus on that chakra, right? So there's so many ways you can use the medicine, but the most important thing is that where you put the medicine is where you're going to receive the healing. And we take a little like tamishi vine. It's just a vine. We burn it and we take it, we make a little superficial burn. So it's just the first layer of skin so that we can, the medicine can go straight into the lymphatic system. So it's very powerful. As soon as you receive it, goes into your lymphatic system. Usually your heart starts to, heartbeat starts to raise. You get really hot. You can become very nauseous. And what it carries, these very powerful polypeptides that are able to pass through the blood-brain barrier and without rupturing. So it can go into your neural receptors and close the ones that are open, like left open, so addiction patterns, right? It's very powerful for addiction, for mental health, overthinking, you know, anxiety. That's what I used it for. Mm. I had so much anxiety that I just didn't know what to do with myself. And my friend was using Cambo, and I went to try this thing. I was so terrified. And I noticed a significant decrease, like that I was able to release so much of that built up energy in my solar plexus. That's where I felt the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And just from my first treatment, you know, just 1 weekend treatment that, which is 2 treatments technically, but 1 weekend experience, usually do 2. You don't want to do just 1 because the first one releases all the toxins into your fatty tissue, and then it just takes many days for that to come out of your body. But when we do the second treatment, it just flushes it all out, right? Mm. So it's very powerful for detoxifying. You do purge, right? You want to purge from usually from your mouth. Some people purge from the bottom end, you know, and it depends on the person and what is needed. The medicine is really powerful. It's highly intelligent, we say. Like, it's a quantum medicine, meaning it works based on your intention. Mm-hmm. So whatever your intention is, it's going to give you that. So that's why we do a lot of intention work, making sure that they're clear about what they want to receive. And it's about 15 minutes long. Yeah. That's it. Like 20 yeah. minutes max, like, you know, and that's if we use the traditional method, which is to activate the medicine with the enzymes of our saliva. Mm. So we put our saliva on the medicine, and then we apply it to the skin, the burned skin. So that method, which is traditional, activates it so that it's only a 15-minute journey, versus if we just put water on the medicine, it would take about 45 minutes to an hour. And the feelings are not amazing. It's not a psychedelic. Yeah. It's not like that. So you definitely want, you know, most people don't want to sit there feeling nauseous for an hour.
Definitely not.
15 minutes is bearable. So, and the feelings afterwards, oh my goodness, so many people have just said, I feel so clear. I feel so peaceful, like mental clarity, you know, emotional clarity, physically light and heart opening and like self-healing, like just so many beautiful effects. Like and every journey is so different. You never know how you're going to feel after, but you do know, you can definitely know that you'll feel some version of amazing.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you needed. So, yeah.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. And these sort of like ancient medicine traditions have always been super fascinating to me, at least, because, you know, they come from a time before anything that we sort of consider medicine today, right? Yes. And yet they're some of the most powerful medical treatments that can be used that aren't used in sort of biomedicine or anything like that. And yet, you know, they help so many people. Now, just to be fair, you know, I suppose we should put a disclaimer that you shouldn't try this by yourself, and you should always do it with a professional or someone who's guiding you and knows what's happening. And there's risks to everything, so don't be dumb. But
yes, thank you for saying that.
No, it's just because we live in a silly world where people, you know, do silly things. But it's fascinating. And, you know, you had mentioned that it acts on the lymphatic system, right?
Yes.
Which is a clearing. Well, one of its jobs is it's like a cleansing or a clearing system, yes. Right? And so this medicine sort of like kicks it into overdrive, you could say, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. It basically removes all the foreign bodies. Anything that's foreign to the body will pull it all out.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but that also applies to, like, as you were saying, to, you know, like mental attitudes or mental tendencies or emotional blockages, which I suppose, you know, I don't know if I would characterize those as like foreign bodies, right? No. I guess they're more just like imbalances, something yes. like that can be repaired by it, right?
Yes, it's like an energetic buildup in the mind, yeah. the mental body, the brain, right? So yeah, we definitely have had a lot of participants wanting to just feel peace of mind, you know, just release anxiety, the overthinking, and because that usually impacts fatigue. So mm-hmm. they often felt very exhausted, and so they sometimes come to us for fatigue, but we know that it's also because they're overthinking and their mind is completely in overdrive. So what when we apply the medicine, we usually put it into around that area, you know, like maybe higher up on the back or closer to, depending on if they're overthinking about a certain topic, right? Again, it all depends on their intention, where we're going yeah. to intuitively be guided to put the medicine. But it does. It's like, it's all of a sudden you're just like, oh my goodness, there's like a gap between thoughts. You know, all of a sudden you feel this emptiness in your mind that is just profound. And it's really beautiful. It's, yeah.
And is it so lasting? Yes.
So we always encourage them to integrate slowly, right? Like the integration process is just as important as the mm-hmm. actual receiving of the medicine. So moving slowly, taking time, you know, just connecting back with nature and just giving themselves space to integrate, because it is very much a quantum experience, just like the Tao, you know, forgiveness, karma clearing, quantum experiences means that it's integrating beyond your comprehension, meaning it's integrating as you're walking down the street, as you're sleeping, as you're, you know, like you're all your soul, heart, mind, energy, and body is literally transforming as you integrate. Yeah. So the next few days after you receive Cambo, it's very important to just not just go dive back into work, you know, as so intensely, if that's your regular lifestyle, but to actually give yourself some time to have some space. And so what I noticed was I had so much anxiety, and I, you know, the anxiety went from the like almost 80% like intensity, like that's how high it was, to down to like 50%. You know, it was a significant drop that I noticed that was sustained. Like it wasn't all the things I had tried prior to that, it would go away and then for like a few days and then come right back. Right. So that's why I knew, I was like, okay, this is blasting some energetic blockages, like the, you know, when you have like a blockage, it's usually like, even think of an artery, it's like there's a blockage in that artery, and your body, your spiritual channels, your physical, mental, emotional body is that vessel, right? You are mm-hmm. that vessel that has got that energy that is so tight, so wound up, so accumulative that it becomes a block of flowing life force energy. And so what I realized for myself personally was that the Cambo was coming into my body and kind of breaking up that energy that was blocked, you know, breaking up that accumulation of negative information again, you know, like that negative, anxious energy that created a little ball of uncomfortable space in my body that I didn't know how to get rid of. And right. And so it just felt like it was kind of like taking like a bomb and just going poof, like, yeah. You know, and I'm like, I don't know where it went, but it's not here anymore. So, but again, it is about the integration. So knowing that when you do anything like that, you're opening up a quantum space. You're basically saying, okay, this space is now clear, but what are you going to fill it with? Mm-hmm. So now it's this beautiful empty space that's potent for creation. You know, you can put anything in there that's right. going to create inside your body. What are you going to do? So it's like, well, are you going to focus on forgiveness, love, peace, you know, like
the good healing, things.
Health. Yeah. I mean, anything you want really that brings you joy, family, friends, you know. Because the integration is like, well, whatever you fill up in that space that you just cleared is going to be created. So mm-hmm. some people, if they don't realize this, then that old patterns, those old negative information, it's like a magnet. It's a quantum. Yeah. It just goes right back in there if you don't actually take new actions that you didn't take before. You know, new actions to create new neural networks. So we don't say that Cambo does the healing for you. It doesn't. It's a catalyst for your own self-healing, right? So it'll open the space and clear that negative information. And then now you get to create those new neural networks, take those new actions that you didn't have the energy to take before or the consciousness to take before. Mm-hmm. And even it could be as simple as slowing down. You know, not rushing back into work. It could be as simple as reading in the morning or writing in the morning or saying affirmations in the morning or whatever it is that maybe you knew you should do, but you never did it. You know, you didn't do it. Right. So it's those things that we know we should be doing, but we're not doing, you know, and Cambo really gives you that energy to start.
Yeah, taking that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it makes sense to me what you're saying about how it doesn't heal for you, it gives you a space, right? And that's also why it should be done with caution, is because, you know, anything that is powerful enough to have that kind of a lasting change on you, it's potentially also powerful enough to have a negative lasting change on you in a similar sort of way, right?
Yes. There's so many contraindications with Cambo, so mm-hmm. you know, we have a long medical history form that people have to fill out. We have to approve it before we serve them. You know, we jump on a call and when I say we, I mean me and my partner, because we both mm-hmm. serve. And there's definitely it's not for everyone. You have to really be an approved participant to receive this medicine, because it is harsh, like all medicines from the jungle. If we think of all the sacred medicines from the jungle, plant medicines, anything that comes from a tree in the Amazon, it's harsh but powerful.
Yeah.
Right? It starts harsh and ends gently. You know? Right. So, you know,
it's
there's
some
other...
not to be taken lightly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's
not a recreational tool.
Yeah, not a recreational tool. This is not a psychedelic. This is not... for the faint-hearted. This is for like those warriors that want to really take themselves to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that they originally used it for hunting, right? Mm-hmm. So is that because of the effects that it had after the sort of 15-minute problem period, let's say, we can call it? Because presumably they wouldn't want to hunt in that state.
No, yeah, it was always for the effect after. So, you know, that peace of mind, that clarity, the lack of thinking, the thoughts, you know, that is calm thoughts, and most importantly, the heightened senses. So the eyesight, you could see further, you could see clearer, the hearing, they could see hear much further away, the animals, right, for hunting. So that's primarily why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Because otherwise mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, I don't know, why would they, who wants to hunt while throwing up, you know? What a great experience that would be.
Yeah. And being light, you know, feeling light on your feet and that boost of energy too. Yeah.
No, it sounds like amazing. And, you know, as is with all of these things, it's like, I hope they get to the people that need them. And wouldn't it be nice if everyone who needed it got it and got the help that they need, right? I mean, what better use could there be?
Yeah, and it's totally legal. So even my partner and I were thinking, okay, let's start a clinic, a Cambo clinic, where people come in and we do that. And I know that they exist somewhere in the world. I can't remember where. I think in Europe. But we definitely want to create it, yeah.
That would be cool. I'll come visit, you know, see what's up. I mean, it's certainly intriguing to me. I mean, a little bit scary. To be fair, you know, I don't know if I would just jump right in, but it's intriguing enough to, you know, warrant further research on my end, because it's like, I mean, if it's, you know, that powerful and it's as good as you say and all your clients have said, I mean, it's worth looking into. That's for sure.
For sure. And we've even been trained, my partner's been trained to give it to serve animals. So we've been serving dogs and help them with different skin irritations or, you know, lack of energy if they're not eating, you know, all of these different things. But even if they're just healthy, you know, just giving them a clearing energetically. And it's a similar, they go through a very similar process as we do as humans, you know. So, but I notice that they don't purge as much. They kind of purge from the bottom end, but much later, like it doesn't happen as quickly. But
interesting.
Yeah. So that's interesting too. It's safe to give to animals, but again, always but from a professional, someone that's been certified. Yeah,
don't and do it yourself. Legal.
Yeah, exactly. Do not give it to your dog yourself.
Yeah, that's definitely a disaster waiting to happen. Yeah, but I guess it would make sense that it would work, right? They're mammals, and we have similar physiologies, and probably respond to things similarly for some parts and not for other parts, like, you know, dogs can't eat chocolate or grapes or things like that, and we can. So anyway, this is random, beside the point. Well, listen, this has been a really great conversation. I've really enjoyed it, and I think, you know, hopefully people will get a lot of benefit from it. Where can people find you? I mean, I'll include your links and stuff in the description for those interested. But if you want to just, you know, give a little promo of yourself and your services, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I am on Instagram, quantum.queen.rising. And there's a link there to my Facebook group. So primarily I'm in a public Facebook group with about 1,200 women, well, 1,300 now, women, and where I offer a lot of free content, free healings, free practices, a lot of just how to step into your power, you know, because what I do essentially is I work with women primarily. I do work with men, but more one-on-one in a six-month immersion program where I teach them how to self-clear karma, negative information, you know, connect to the power of their soul so that they can manifest like the queen that they are. And it's a really beautiful program. I just graduated like 17 women last night, so I'm feeling amazing. And
congrats.
Just grateful. Yeah, thanks. And just grateful to be a part of their soul journey and seeing them flourish and all the beautiful things that they've created out of it. So yeah, so the Facebook group is called Quantum Queen Rising, and you could add me as a friend, you know, email me, message me, whatever. Like, I'm really open and always love connecting with new beings, new souls, and yeah. But if it's easier to just go on Instagram, quantum.queen.rising, that'll have the link to the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, check it out. And thank you very much. I look forward to speaking with you again, hopefully sometime soon.
Yes, I'm going to come serve you Cambo in Toronto.
Yeah. We'll do it. All right.
Thanks,
Serena.
This is great. Thanks so much.
Speak soon. Bye.
Bye.